station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning. Welcome to Thursday. It's October 24th.
It feels like a Thursday.
It does, huh?
It does.
Okay. Well, as well it should.
Uh-huh.
The Thursday should feel like a Thursday.
But it doesn't always. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes people are like, oh, it's Friday. It doesn't feel like a Friday.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like the weekend.
That's
but
true. Yeah.
For me, you know.
For you, it's
today
good. It's a
is,
good day.
Yes, it is. It definitely feels like a Thursday.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, today we're more prepared for the show with our equipment and everything. So we have to apologize
Yay.
For yesterday. I didn't even get a chance to edit the show yet, so it's not up on the archives. It will be soon. But, we got like all new equipment here, and we were having some problem during the show. But we solved it in like 2 minutes, you know. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And but we had to go off the air in order to do that. And I'm glad people were bearing with us and tuning in again.
I hope you're all still here again today.
Yeah, I still have to listen to the show. I mean, we spent like 10 minutes describing what was wrong with
it. I know.
You know.
I know.
But
they can only hear us, like what we're trying to say. So, this is basically what's happening. Looking at this large board of knobs and cords
they got a glimpse of behind the scenes, you know. What can I tell you? So, how are you doing?
I am doing pretty good. I actually
yeah.
feel like it's, you know, I finally feel like it's like fall-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a very autumn kind of day.
Yeah.
So I still felt like it was summer. Like the weather was still like crazy nice,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But
it is nice. It starts off overcast, but it'll get sunny in a little bit and we'll enjoy it. So, yeah, the weather's been beautiful. If you guys, if anybody is wondering whether they should move to L.A., I say go ahead. We have plenty of room here.
About plenty of room.
We can take everybody that wants to come here.
Oh, my goodness.
Our freeways are still, there's still some room for some new cars if you guys want to move here.
Oh, gosh.
And the weather, we can share that with everybody, right?
I don't know. I'm getting pretty stingy when it comes to this weather. I don't want anybody else to have it.
Okay.
People are like, no, I'm so cold over here. Like, oh, sorry, too bad. My weather, my LA, my weather. You can't have any. I'm totally kidding.
Yeah. I know, it's funny.
It's
that
like,
the
hey,
other
I
day
spent 19, you know, years of my life having insane, crazy cold winters. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's enough. I think I've paid my dues.
Yeah.
Where
40 degrees is a heat wave, right? That's
I
what
know.
Our guest was telling us the other day. Wow.
I know. I overheard my mom like talking to my brother because we were Skyping. And she said something about, yeah, just make sure, you know, move the car in the garage. Yeah, because I woke up and then, you know, I saw there's still a bunch of, you know, ice and, you know, stuff on the car. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, ice on the car. Like, gosh, I do not miss that at all. I never have to worry about anything being on my car when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, that's true.
Snow and all that. Ugh.
Yeah.
No,
I
thanks.
Know. I know. You're the firstborn, right?
I am.
In your family. Your brother's younger than you are.
Yeah.
Well, there's they did a study that found that firstborns are smarter and than the other.
Well, it's interesting because my
right.
mom used to say, you know, with high school, you know, you spend 4 years in high school normally.
Right.
Well, I, you know, of course, graduated a year early. So my mom used to tell my brother, you know, your sister was on a 3-year plan. You're going to be on a 5-year plan for high school because he was just so, you know, he was a normal teenage boy, you know.
Right.
They don't care about stuff like that. They just want to be with their friends and do their thing. So it's, yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah, and, you know, besides, I mean, it's not always the case, I don't think. But they're saying it's probably because, you know, parents put more pressure on the firstborns and stuff to achieve and things like that, you know. So it does happen. And I know that... that many people I know, you know, it might actually make sense. I don't know, you know. Yeah, but it's a study. I mean, many parents say that it's not the case, but you never know, you know. I mean, and it's not to say that, you know, middle children or youngest children are stupid. That's not to say. I think it's just in proportion, I guess, you know, right, relatively speaking.
Yeah, no, I think it would make sense.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they, I mean, not that, you know, parents slack off with their youngest, but they, you know what I mean? They cut them a lot more slack, and they don't have as much, you know, pressure on them because, like, okay, we've been here before, so, you know.
Exactly.
Older siblings, they'll be all right, where when you're the oldest, all you have are your parents.
Right.
You know.
Exactly, where you get all the attention and all the expectations as well, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think you're, like, under a... magnifying glass, and everybody can see what you're doing, what you're accomplishing, because you stand out. And they're saying that parents are easier on later born children, you know.
Right.
So that might be the case. I don't know.
Yeah.
With my kids, it's hard to decide who's smarter. They're both very bright, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to know. But what can you do? But, you know, I mean, smart is also has to do, I think, with the level of maturity and everything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
also,
so,
you know, girls versus boys, because just in general, girls are, you know, they mature a lot faster than boys do.
That's true.
I always say it's about like a 10-year age difference. You know what I mean? If the chick is like 30 and the guy's 30, that means... she's 30 and basically has a 20-year-old boyfriend.
And you think it never changes, huh?
But that's
it's always
the
same.
You know,
gap.
Come to think of it, it actually doesn't really matter how old, you know, how old of a guy that I'm dating. I still sometimes feel like the mother in the relationship.
Really?
Like, really? Like, why do I feel more like, you know, your mom than your girlfriend?
Right. Well, maybe he's expecting you to be. I don't know.
No, it's just, you know,
that.
Boys, you know, boys will be boys. They'll always be boys, you know. I mean, of course, they're, you know, they have their moments of being a man, but they will always be boys.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, because we always chase the same thing, you know. We chase...
women.
Women. Females.
I actually saw this movie.
Things never change, you know. I mean, it's always the same.
I saw this movie last night called Don John.
Oh, I heard
of
that. Yeah, with what's his name?
Jason Gordon-Levitt?
Right,
or
right.
Something like that.
Yes.
He's one of those guys with three names. He's great. Yeah. I love him.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
But I think he had something to do with that. I think, like, he wrote it or something like that. This was, like, kind of his, you know, first little project where he wasn't just acting. He had a lot more to do with it.
Yeah. So what was he, like, a successful man with women and things like that? Or?
He was basically, you know, he was this kind of guy, like the super, you know, playboy type that would, you know, go to the club with his buddies, and he would get a new girl to take home every weekend. Mm-hmm. And he was on, like, this streak, you know, and he could never break this streak. So he's always, you know, bringing home these hot chicks. However... he has this major addiction to porn.
Oh, really?
Like, they show him, like, bringing home a girl. Uh-huh. You know, they have sex. She falls asleep. He, like, kind of, you know, slips out of bed and then turns on his laptop and starts starts watching porn. Because he's like, honestly, it's better than the real thing.
The real thing for him.
And it's just so funny. Because then, you know, I don't want to give the whole thing away, but you know, he meets a girl
and then things change, and then
he meets another girl and whatever, but yeah, it was pretty funny.
Is it supposed to be a comedy or like a romantic comedy or
it was
something?
It was more like a dramedy, you know, because parts of it were like very like
serious.
You know, deep and real, but a lot of it was funny. You know,
because
he had the hardcore kind of accents like that, and they were all like all about it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I guess I do.
And yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good. I mean, it sounds like an interesting movie. So when he had sex, he wouldn't like finish? He would need the porn.
No, he would.
Oh, but then he still needed the porn.
He would finish, and then he'd wait for the girl to fall asleep, and then he would slip out of bed and go watch porn.
I bet you there's a lot of people like that, you know?
Probably.
I mean, if you get hooked on that.
Yeah.
Well, what are you
I really didn't know what I was getting myself into with that movie. I was like, I just want to see something that's not that serious, you know? Like, I'm in one of those moods where I don't want to have to think about it or feel anything. I'm like, I just want to watch something mindless and whatever.
Right.
And, you know, but there definitely was more to it than just, you know, a funny movie. But I'm like, and my friend's like, oh, that's the porno movie. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, okay, now we are definitely going to see this. This sounds so interesting. Like, this could really be fun. Because I feel like there hasn't been another film made like this, really. So it's, you know.
That's true, yeah. I mean, there's been other addictions, but not this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it sounds pretty good. Before we get to our guest, I wanted to bring up a couple stories. But you know what, me? I mean, we're in a good mood. I don't want to bring up like rapes and kidnappings and burnings and.
Well, you kind of already did.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we're in such a good mood. No, I don't want to talk about anything depressing. But by the way, rapes and murders and fires.
Okay, well, but I'm
and,
not talking about it. Know. I just mentioned that it exists and there's a lot of stories going on right now that are just like, you know, chilling. That's what I can say. But that's all.
I feel like this. It's chilling already in the air. Like it's so like cloudy. But you're right. It does like wear off later on, and then it's super sunny out. And
how did you get to the weather? I mean, we're
I don't know. Just because I got the chills. You know what I mean? Like when you're just minding your own business, and all of a sudden you get like a little
okay, so when
shiver.
I said chilling, then
and then I got I got the chills.
Okay.
And I was like,
did it triggered it?
And I looked outside. I'm like, oh, maybe that's why, because it's like chilly. But I feel like being all like cozy and, you know,
under
smelling
the
pumpkin
and
spice and, you know, all that lovely autumn stuff. I have to put on my Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I just thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it'll really feel like fall.
That's
true. I have
true.
Cute
I mean,
Hello
you're almost
Kitty
too late.
Halloween decorations.
I'm sure.
Of course.
You have Hello Kitty Halloween all year.
Yeah, Hello Kitty Christmas, Hello Kitty Halloween, Hello Kitty,
Is your house as full of them as your car?
Just my bedroom.
Oh, just your bedroom. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's
the rest of the, the rest of the house is quite normal. but my bedroom's pretty bad.
Wow, Hello Kitty.
Very pink and girly.
All right, well, let's bring in our guest. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him to us, since you know him. Are you guys friends?
I'd like to think that we're friends.
Okay.
I mean, it was kind of one of the first places I went to when I moved to the West Hollywood area, because right where I live, literally, like, just, you know, basically down the street from me is this Chinese restaurant called Kung Pao Bistro.
Mm.
And Eddie Chan here, say hi.
Hi, everyone.
just to make sure they know you're here.
And
part owner.
Yes, of the restaurant. So that's how we met, because I was, you know, going there a lot. And actually, when my brother was living out here with me, you know, if I was working or I couldn't really be, you know, around to, like, you know, make dinner or whatever, he would just walk, you know, down to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And and you guys started having some conversations, and he's like, the owner guy, he's really cool, blah blah blah.
Wow,
and
that's
we would
nice.
Always walk there and, you know, get Chinese food, so it's like, you know, we'd always just kind of hang out.
Right. So, go ahead and give his name.
Yeah, Eddie Chan.
Eddie Chan. And you're pretty young. That's why it's probably hard to believe you own a restaurant and everything. You know, usually the owners are like older men and stuff like that.
You know, I look young, but I'm actually 34 right now.
Oh, I mean, and that's not young, right?
Maybe it's an Asian thing. You know, everyone thinks I'm still in my mid-20s.
Yeah,
huh? They're like, oh, you know, you're
that's
going
good.
College and everything.
Yeah, you'll appreciate it later in life, believe me. You know,
I hope I do.
When
I
you have to deal with age and stuff and you look younger, that's pretty cool. You know?
I'm just glad I look 10 years younger than my age right now.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate everything that's going on in life right now.
Awesome. Talk louder into the mic so we can hear you, because
okay.
people want to know that you're here. Yeah, you can bring it towards you and everything. So, this is cool. So How long did you have the restaurant for?
You know, the restaurant's been open since 2001. Oh, I actually bought into it with my business partner, Frank Chi. He's like one of my college buddies back in 97. Mm-hmm. So I've been there for 3 years right now.
You mean 2007?
2001.
Right. And so, then you said 97.
Well, like, I know my buddy for since college, 97.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then we all ended up buying into it the past 3 years.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you guys knew each other from college.
Yeah. It was a good opportunity. I hopped onto. Mm-hmm. I was going to law school for a little bit. Didn't like it. But yeah. It was a good investment. At least I went through it and I appreciated it. Uh-huh. And out there, I saw this opportunity come out with the investing in the restaurant. Uh-huh. And that's where I jumped into it.
Right.
I mean, I had a lot of talks to myself in the car, you know, okay, should I do this or should I do it or not? Because I know it's really time consuming.
Uh-huh. Yeah, restaurant business is hard, huh? A lot of work.
It is a lot of work. You got to have you got to be on your A game all the time.
Right.
But in the end, it's valuable.
Right.
There's a lot of...
You got to enjoy it, right? You got to be part of it.
You know, I do enjoy it. Uh-huh. There's sometimes when it gets too busy, you can't enjoy it because you're dealing with hundreds of customers a day.
Wow.
But in the end of the night, with your numbers and everything, with your staff, you know, it's like a big family. You got to enjoy your work.
Right.
Because I'm there like, 13 hours a day.
Wow.
And, you know, I start 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. I don't get out until midnight.
Wow.
Which is fine.
And you're there the whole time?
Yes. Wow. You got to keep an eye out. Sometimes, you know, until we find like a bunch of floor managers to handle everything, then we feel more secure.
Right.
But as of right now, owners always got to keep an eye out. Even though you have cameras, you still want to keep an eye out on everything.
Yeah, because of the service. I mean, the cameras can't really capture the service that people get and the efficiency and everything. And I'm totally for that. I agree with that 100%. You can't run a business if you're not there.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be there every moment of the day, but you have to be involved. Mm-hmm. You know, and some people have businesses like they just open one after another in different cities and stuff, but then they go down the tube because nobody's watching anybody, you know. And even when you hire a manager, they don't have as much interest in keeping things running as you do.
Agree. You know? I agree with that.
And sometimes the manager will rip you off.
You know, it's true though, because then you gotta. It's all about trust.
Right.
In the business, it's all about customer service.
Right.
Your relationship with your staff members.
Right.
Because you don't know if they're, like you said, Sam, you know, they're trying to rip you off.
Right.
If they care about the business. In the end, everyone just cares about the dinero.
Right.
You know?
That's what it comes down to. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have to be there and watch what people do and stuff. So I agree with that. Wow, that's a lot of work, man. So you've been working like this 13 hours for how many years since 2001?
Well, not every day. Sometimes I start at 5 and it's like a 7 hour. So my full days are half days.
Right.
And then my full, like a time and a half are people's full days, you know.
Right.
Been doing it for the past 2-3 years.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, do you have time for anything else? You probably don't have time for, like, romance, relationships, things like that.
Thanks for bringing that up, Sam.
Well, you know, I don't know that you are.
I mean, West Hollywood, there's a lot of eye candy around there.
Right.
But everyone's in their own world.
Right.
You know, and you got to respect that because everyone has dreams and you got to appreciate their big dreams.
Right.
Because everyone's young, ambitious, and optimistic about life, you know, and you just got to go with it.
Right.
With romance, yeah, sometimes it's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I work on weekends, so it's really hard to date.
Right.
Right now, I'm off on Thursdays and Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Ladies.
Yeah.
And so it's, I try to manage it as much as I can right now. I mean, first right now, I'm trying to build my house. Mm-hmm. And once that's done, you know, I feel more security, more the single life. And afterward, I could actually start dating more.
Right.
And I feel more secure.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Yeah. Are you originally from L.A.?
Yeah, born and raised in L.A.
Really?
Back in 1979.
Uh-huh.
I would say I'm second-generation Chinese-American.
Oh, really? So you're second-generation. So your parents came from China?
Yeah, China and Hong Kong.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Back in the mid-70s, I think 74, 75.
Oh, so they're from China and Hong Kong?
You know, back then with the communists and everything, they left China, they went to Hong Kong. From Hong Kong, they immigrated over here to the United States.
I see. But they had met in China, right? They were together
they're
this whole time. Raised. Both of them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. What is it from a big city or a small town?
It's like Canton, like Guangzhou, South China. right. which is really big. That's where all the main manufacturer of all our products in the United States is made right now.
Oh, really?
In
oh,
China.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which I prefer to be made in USA.
Yeah, so, but you know.
And everything has a sticker on it that says made in China.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's just a repeat. It used to be like made in Japan, you know, and the Japanese used to like copy things and try to make them better and stuff. But mm-hmm. at the same, now they've succeeded. Now they make really good products. But at the time, from what I understand, it was before my time too. But things would fall apart. Things were made in Japan, you know, but because they were developing, you know, and China mm-hmm. now they've become so efficient that I mean their output is amazing.
Economical
output. Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah. Have you been back there? Have you visited?
It's been a long time. My mom used to own an import-export business of mm-hmm. gift baskets and sell flowers.
Right.
But business, of course, has dwindled. Mm-hmm. So now she's retired, and I haven't been back there since 2006.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you still have family there, obviously,
I do have
right?
family there, but my main relatives and family, it's all here.
Are here, right. Yeah.
And I try to keep it real with everyone.
Right.
Because, you know, it's always family first.
Right.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And so you have family here other than that also came from China at the time or from Hong Kong?
Yes, yes.
I see. So they all came out about the same time?
I think my family came here first in the mid-70s and everyone started, you know, immigrating here in the mid-80s.
Mm, I see. So it was because, like, what was it harder there? Like, I mean, if they lived in Hong Kong, it's not that bad, right?
You know, I think it was the fact that it was like, with the communists and everything, I mean, I never saw that kind
right.
of side.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, back then they would come and take everything from you.
Right.
So then when you came over here, I mean, everyone wants to be in America.
Right.
Be in the United mm-hmm. States, you know, live the American dream.
Right.
And, you know, it's all about freedom here.
Right.
Freedom of speech, freedom of life. And they learned to appreciate it with the Chinese traditional value and eventually being Americanized.
Right.
Which I am right now.
Right.
So it's all about USA for me.
Right.
And I can't, you know, they try to adapt right now because all of my relatives have kids here.
Right.
And they're just adapting.
So you have a big family and stuff here.
Big enough. Big
right.
enough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I mean, it's, I know when family are like in different country and stuff, it's like you can't really get close to them because there's such a distance, you know.
You're right.
And it doesn't matter how often you talk on the phone and everything, but a distance is something. That's the same with like long distance relationships, you know, romantic
right.
relationships. And people say, yeah, it can work, blah, 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 blah. I don't think so. You know, I think if you're in a relationship, you need to be close to that person physically, so mm-hmm. Geographically. So you can build something, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, so I totally understand. So you grew up here in L.A. What part of the city did you grow up in?
Monterey Park, East L.A., Commerce, City of Commerce.
Oh, yeah. is there like a Chinese community there or something?
Well,
or?
Monterey Park, well, right now it's dominated by Asians, but it used to be like, of course, you know, you have the elder white people.
Right.
You have like half Mexicans, Hispanics,
right.
and half Asians. But I grew up in City of Commerce, so I was like the only Asian token kid.
Yeah.
And all my friends uh-huh. were like black, white, Mexican. So it was like a bunch of like little rascals.
Right.
Around.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. People used to call me the Chinito, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. How would you like yeah. to be born in a place called the City of Commerce? You know, I mean, it doesn't sound that appealing, you know?
It doesn't. But
there's a lot of industry there, though.
It
stuff,
is.
Right?
It is. It's you know, I value that. I have so much heart for it. My relative still lives there.
Yeah. So it's a nice place.
It's like actually where the Commerce place? Casino is and where the Citadel is right now.
Oh,
the
really?
Outlet.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
okay.
where it is.
So
okay.
like
I know the
kind
Citadel
of like on the way to like Orange County
exactly.
area, right?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
San Diego, yeah.
yeah.
So that makes sense right there when you see off the freeway and a Citadel and City of Commerce.
Oh, I didn't realize that's where it was. Okay.
And you drive
I
up Atlantic
more.
And then you're in Monterey Park.
Oh, you know what? I'm confusing it with the City of Industry. I've been to the City of Industry, but never to Commerce. Okay.
It's very similar.
Really?
Very similar.
Well, but they're not really close. I mean...
No, one's off the 60, one's off the 5.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
it's all within the vicinity of the area,
right.
which is fine.
All L.A. County and stuff. Who cares,
yeah,
right?
You got to drive. When you're in L.A., you got to have a car. You got to drive because in... LA
yeah.
so big, you travel to Orange County, Ventura County,
yeah, it's,
in the Empire.
It's really spread out, you know. Yeah. So mm-hmm. So you went to school here in L.A.
Yes.
And what was school for you? I mean, did you find it hard to be American-born Chinese Or did it not even matter?
You know, that's a good question, Sam, you know, because I grew up with non-Asians.
Right.
And so when I started, you know, I went to Brightwood Elementary School in the city of Monterey Park, which was majority Asians. I was like, wow, you know, I was like culture shock right there. Because yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of little rascals running around, bunch of like so diverse. I was so used to seeing other races.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when I went to Alhambra High School in the city of Alhambra, it was like, you know, half Hispanics and half Asian.
Right. So everyone learns to tolerate each other at a young age, I would imagine,
you,
right?
You have to, you know.
Yeah.
Life is too short.
Right.
These days, you know, you got to respect another's culture. It's, you know, we're here for a reason. There's so many mixed cultures right now that
yeah,
get married
yeah.
and have Hapa kids or mixed kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to actually value the tradition, everyone's tradition, because there's so much different cultures.
Right, yeah.
And once you mix it in together, it's like, you know, more power to the family.
Right. Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah. So I would imagine you were a good student, right?
I tried to. You know, I was good, and of course you gotta like, you know, like.
I mean, that's a stereotype.
Well,
Asians
mean,
are smart
school,
and hardworking.
But.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but it is a stereotype that Asians are smart and.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But they are. Many of them are, and
they always were in
working.
My school.
Yeah.
They were like always like straight A plus.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think it's related to what we said earlier about firstborns, that mm-hmm. I think there's also a lot of expectations from the parents.
I agree.
Right? So you have to, you want to please them, you're driven, and so you do well. So then you, so where did you go to university after?
Actually went to University of California, Riverside.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was that good?
You know what? That city was tremendously awesome.
Really?
It was so cozy there, like what Mia was saying. Like back at home in Chicago, it's more inland, so
right?
You don't see many trees, and then you know the pace is slower,
right?
You learn to adapt to that area,
right? And what was college like? I mean, what did you take pre-law?
No, I didn't actually. I mean, law was later on, you know.
Right.
Honestly,
so at the beginning,
I didn't want to become a lawyer. Anymore.
Right.
Thank God I'm not, you know. And it was more like business.
Business,
like you know, administration,
right?
Or management. I actually party a lot in college.
Yeah. As well you should have, you know. I mean, that's yeah.
I know,
it
I
is.
Think you and my brother were sharing stories about that.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, college was the best time of your life, of everyone's life, or of my life, of course. You know?
Right.
And
so you had a lot of fun in college.
Too much fun.
Yeah.
The five-year plan.
To give yourself an extra
year. I
actually
felt kind of guilty. I actually lied to my parents. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take a minor in computer science, you know. Uh-huh. But actually, that didn't do well. So I just took like majority of year off.
Yeah.
Just like went out, party, spent money.
Wow.
And after work, oh, let's.
Yeah, like, that's the time to do it. You know, I mean, you can't do it when you work 12 hours a day.
You know, not right now, because eventually you gotta grow up. You know, you're not. Eventually, when you hit 30, for any men out there, you start thinking about life, family.
Right.
Like me was saying, yes, you know, women. Do mature faster than men. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of times, like, you know, even though I'm in my 20s, I'm probably minus 10 years, I'm still in my teens, you know, running around. But I love it. I still go back there. I have a rental some rental properties around there. So
awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
So, yeah, so you studied business and stuff. And then,
correct.
So you went for 5 years to school. At what point did the law school come into play here?
You know how Asian family are. All they always compare you with their family members.
The neighbors.
Yeah.
They're attorney, they're a doctor, pharmacist.
I know every parent wants
you know.
the kids to be a lawyer or a doctor.
Eventually, I will.
It's like they're not such great professions, you know? I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, very time consuming.
It is. And eventually, I just told my family, you know, you can't compare us to other people. We're not the same.
Right.
Everyone grows up differently, different background. And
and you gotta give people their individuality too.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't put them in a box and say you're gonna be a lawyer. Well,
no, you can't.
It's not compatible with my personality, you know, or my temperament or something, you know, or my interests, you know. So, but your parents did put the pressure on.
They put a lot of pressure. I don't know if I was the oldest, like how Mia, you're the oldest too. But you know, for a guy being the oldest, and I only have a younger sister, it was a lot of pressure to be like the role model.
Right.
Especially,
right.
I wasn't the greatest role model. But then again, as I got older until now, you know, I feel like I am a good role model because the worst kids becomes the best kids in the future.
Really?
Well, at least for me.
I never heard of that one before, but okay.
No, I was pretty bad back then, you know, compared to all my little cousins and my siblings.
Yeah.
But in the end, you know, I had to like wake up and become a man.
Yeah. There you go. Cool. So I mean, how did you react? Were you like reluctantly going to law school? I mean, because you agreed, obviously.
I didn't do too well on that part, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, I went there for 1 year. It was a good investment.
Right.
And I have no...
No regrets.
No regrets at all.
Right.
No regrets. You know, life, you know, is about success and failures. Everyone makes mistakes in life.
Right.
You know, no mm-hmm. one's perfect.
Right.
You know, I was talking to my business partner about that a few days ago. You know, hey, if we were perfect, we wouldn't even be working right now. We'd be enjoying life, traveling, going on cruise, you know.
Right.
You know, traveling around the world.
Uh-huh.
But you got to test everything out.
Right.
And once you test everything out, you see if you like it or you don't, then you move on.
Right, exactly. So you gave it a try.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
And no regrets, you know.
Cool. What did they say when you decided to drop out?
Thanks for reminding me of that, Sam.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, you know, it's part of your life.
That is part of life, and this opportunity came up with the restaurant, with Compound Bistro.
Okay.
And so I actually, you know, I started working as a driver.
So the opportunity came up when you were in law school?
Yeah, so it was okay. During when I was in law school, and I was trying to juggle it. I wasn't sure if I wanted to, like, continue.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, like, you know, this opportunity, I was like, either owe 150 grand
right.
after 4 years doing part-time.
Good.
Be single, no life, no wife, no life.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought about it. I was like, man, I was like, hey, what if I ask my family and my sister to help me invest in this,
right.
this business,
uh-huh.
and that there at least I'll generate some income to help support the family later.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, actually, this is what happened.
Uh-huh.
So I'm very grateful of everything.
Yeah.
Sometimes things happen for a reason, and I took advantage of it, and I moved forward in life.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I became
awesome.
A man. Now I support the whole family and more, and now I know, gosh, you know, having kids in the future is tough.
Yeah.
And I don't mind having kids when I'm 40, you know, so.
Yeah. That's a little late, though, man. I mean, maybe 35
really, though,
or something.
For guys, I mean, especially out here, like, it's so different out here.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like back in the Midwest, like, people my age are all, like, you know, engaged
yeah.
and, you know, either, like, have kids or going to or they're getting married or whatever.
Right.
You know, but I feel like here is just very different. Everybody's so focused on their own goals and careers. Like, people want to get to a certain point before they can share that with somebody else.
Right.
So it's like, and I feel like guys can be dads later on in life. Guys can do that. They don't have like a you know, internal clock that's ticking like women do.
No, that's true. But let me tell you, in your 40s, it's harder to chase a little kid than when you're in your late 20s, 30s, you know.
Yeah, but
and
it
there's
also
a reason why people have
kinda,
it earlier,
you know. What kind of shape you're in and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, some people are just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's different.
Besides, I mean, you might meet a woman who's going to say, well, I need kids and I need them now, you know. And what are you going to do, you know? So you're going to. You
yeah,
don't
say,
have a
honey,
choice.
Wait.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you never know. It's hard to plan these things. You know, I remember
right.
when I was in my 20s, I said I'm never gonna get married before I'm 30, and ended mm-hmm. up getting married at 27. You know, because you never know what you're gonna meet and who you're gonna meet and how it's gonna turn out.
Right.
So yeah, you know. Well, So you dropped out and you decided to go with the restaurant. So how did you start there now? You said you were a driver and...
Yeah, you know, like, actually my buddy was going, hey, there's an opening for you.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, let me... Because you got to test out... They want you to test out the water first, see
right.
if it's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And out there, just once you get your foot in the door, you start building from there.
Right.
So he asked me to be a driver. I did driver. I did busboy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started cleaning around the restaurant. Then I
right.
did packer, then cashier.
And you didn't mind doing that instead of going to law school?
You know what? Sometimes I thought about the future. I actually spent way too much money. I was kind of spoiled. So I kind of racked up all my credit card debt.
Wow.
And I had my parents bail me out. So then eventually I had to, you know, in my heart, I had to repay them back. Because whatever
right.
they pass down to you and give to you to build your foundation, you can never, ever, you know, repay them
repay,
back as,
right.
as that much, you know. So it's, I don't know, you know, for a guy and after the fact that I'm a man, you know, I just had like, you know, a gut feeling that I had to do the right thing for the family.
Right.
Or else I'll feel guilty about myself.
Yeah.
And
so you started at the bottom and worked yourself. Your way up.
Yes, it was pretty brutal. My buddy put me through like a boot camp.
Really?
It's tough when your best friend is like, you know, like trying to push you to become the best, you know.
Right.
Especially mm-hmm. when, you know, restaurant's not easy. It's so grueling.
Right.
So I, you know, I don't look like a dirty person, but I get down and dirty.
Right.
Doing all the work, but.
Yeah.
I'm happy where I am.
Right now. I mean, but yeah, I mean, you've started something and you've built something. So how did you go from an employee to owning the restaurant?
Eventually, one of the shareholders wanted to sell their share.
Mm-hmm.
Business wasn't doing as great as before.
Right.
We had a long talk with them to see if I liked it. Eventually, we talked things out. I bought out like one of my partners, one of the ex partners' share.
Oh, okay.
And then my best friend and I, Frank Chi, we collaborated like a corporation and then moved
right.
on from there.
Yeah, so it looks amazing now. The place is like completely,
really?
You know, redone and very, you know, modified and modern with the, you know, TVs
yes.
and everything. Like it's really turned around. I feel like it has, because I saw it before
after.
You guys had remodeled, and it was just, you know, table and chairs, and now it's like very, it's got a really cool like swanky vibe to it.
I agree with you. It was like a fast food joint before.
Yeah.
If you compare it to right now, it's more modernized.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Very modernized, and we have tap beer, a lot of them interesting tap beers that a lot of Chinese restaurants don't have.
Right.
I feel like we're number one in delivery in the whole entire Hollywood area.
Yeah, I see the, you know, granted, I lived near there, but just even driving around, even like not necessarily in that area, I see the cars everywhere with the Kung Pao Bistro tent on top with the light, like it's
yes.
a delivery car. I see them mm-hmm. everywhere.
Really?
Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're busy tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes on a busy night, we'll have like 10 cars, a fleet right there driving around delivering.
Very impressive.
Wow.
I just wanted to ask you, so you said you bought out the partner,
mm-hmm.
but you were still like just doing menial work and things like that at the
yes.
time. So there was a lot of help from your parents financially, right?
Absolutely. You know, right. That's why right now, like whatever I make right now, like 70%
you're repaying
of my
them.
Paycheck.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
hey, if I could help them retire.
Right.
And then in the end, they helped me build my foundation. That's all I could ask for.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's a nice thing is that, you know, some families don't want anything to do with you. And then some families will help you in any way they can, you know. And you know, when they do, they get repaid in the long run, you know, because
mm-hmm.
Now you've got the feeling that you really want to give them something back. You know, I mean, even if they hadn't give you the money, you know, I mean, just the fact that they raised you and gave you everything that you needed and stuff, it's a nice feeling to be able to
yeah.
help your parents later on in life.
Oh,
you know?
For sure. I mean, I definitely feel that way, you know,
yeah.
especially since I moved out here. I know, you know, my parents didn't have the means to be able to help me out financially, like, at all. Like, it was,
right.
like, kind of the opposite, you know.
Right.
I'm out here trying to, you know, just... But, I mean, you know, I had such a great childhood, and that's why... You know, I still feel like I, you know, and I don't want to say I owe them so much, but
yeah.
like in a way, like I do, like I just want to do, you know, so much, like I want to move my mom out here so bad
yeah.
and just give her like such a nice life because
yeah.
she, you know, she raised me into such a nice life.
Right.
So.
Your mom is
sure.
awesome, Mia.
Thank
yeah,
you.
She's
yes.
A, she's a partier,
yeah,
man.
Whenever my mom's in town, we always go to the Kung Pao Bistro.
Oh, yeah?
At least
she
like once or twice a visit. Yeah.
Wow.
It's really good food.
Yeah.
Like really good Chinese food.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to come. So this one is in West Hollywood?
Yes. There's only one branch in West Hollywood. There used to be one in Sherman Oaks and Studio City. Now it's all different owners.
Mm-hmm.
The main one that kept within the family. Is in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A lot of people go order through our website at kpbistro.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they go order delivery or takeout. And we're much appreciated. Just be patient with us, you know. Sometimes we get really busy, so time frame
yeah.
can take longer than expected. But don't worry, the food will be hot and fresh when he gets there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't give us a hard time. Please, you know, try not to, you know. We're running a business. We're trying to do our best to, you know, satisfy all the customers out there.
Yeah. So the restaurant is actually quite different from the way it was when you went in.
Yes.
Right? When you joined.
It's so different.
Yeah. So what is it, like a higher-end restaurant
yes,
now?
Yes. Everyone always compares with us to P.F. Chang.
P.F. Chang and
Chin
stuff
Chin.
Like that? Really?
So I think, you know, we try to be better than, you know,
right.
family-owned because they're like a franchise and corporate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we do our best. And so we're family-owned base,
right?
So we try to do our best to, you know, hire up
Yeah.
The ante.
Yeah. Sounds good. I mean, that's, you know, that's one thing. So is it pretty big? I mean, the restaurant itself, is it pretty large?
The whole building is like 3,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. Dining's like 1,500. So we sit like 65 people indoors.
Oh, that's not bad.
And you guys have like a little outdoor seating area too.
Oh, nice.
Which is really cute.
For like 20 plus people.
Nice.
We're planning to remodel the outside, like repaint the buildings, change up the awning, just do up the patio.
Yeah.
But it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, it does. It does, you know. But when you have and you hadn't been in restaurant business before, right?
No, you know what? I was funny thing you mentioned that, Sam. You know, this is my first restaurant I've ever done in my life. All my best friends own restaurants, and their family are in restaurants. I always just go over there and go, hey, cook me some mushu pork. And they used to make fun of me. I'll give you my mushu. And afterward, and I was like, oh, give me like some cream cheese wonton, you know. Uh-huh. And I mean, I watched them do it. I never worked in one.
Right.
But I know I'm really good with customer service. So I'm going to use my skills to, you know, enhance the business.
Right. You don't need to be able to cook in order to be able to run a good restaurant.
Yes, you know, it's funny. One of my relatives actually, you know, said something, you know, to own a restaurant, you got to know how to cook, you know. I was like, you know what? That's not true. Because you have your own cooks. It would be vital, importantly, really important, you know, to learn just in case something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you don't have to.
Right.
You know, it's step by step. There's so much to learn.
And even if your partner does, then, you know, you don't have to know it, but somebody has to know what's going on.
Yes, absolutely.
But you can take the business side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. You know, I work the front end, so I dealt with all the customers in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And if there been anyone has an issue with the, you know, with the food or services, they always go, where's the manager? Where's Eddie?
Yeah.
Let me talk to him. Let me give you a piece of his mind. And, you know, West Hollywood is a pretty interesting city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got quite a colorful clientele there, huh?
Very colorful, you know. But you know what? They work hard, and they're very loyal.
Yeah.
And if you show them respect, provide them a good service, they'll always be back.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, I strive for.
Right.
And we're trying to enhance the business more, you know, we're thinking about expanding, but one at a time.
How do you expand a restaurant? By opening other locations?
Yeah, having investors.
Right.
You know,
not necessarily that specific restaurant, but the company. You're going to build more restaurants.
More like the name of it.
Right.
But sometimes just only one.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, for myself, only one is good enough.
Yeah, definitely. And it takes up all your time anyway, you know.
It takes all your time. And like you said, you know, I mean, I want a date.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm single, ladies.
Yeah.
It's okay. No regrets. Life is good. You know, I'm trying to make the money so I can invest more. You can't always have your money sit in the bank collecting that 0.05 interest or 0.01.
Well, that's a problem of rich people. You know?
Oh,
some people don't have to worry about that because they don't have the money in the bank.
They have it all investments.
Yeah. So you happy with the West Hollywood location? I mean, obviously you sound very busy there.
Yes, so, we are. I am very, very gracious to be in the West Hollywood.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money there, a lot of studios, production companies. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of businesses in general.
Yeah. Do you guys get celebrities there sometimes too?
Yes, it's funny. Actually, one of our drivers was saying, oh, you know, some like Carlos Mencia was sitting yesterday, and they're like, who's that? I was like, you don't know, dee-dee-dee.
Yeah.
And he kept doing that the whole night, and I was like, Will, calm down, calm down.
Yeah.
I think he just kept running around going, dee-dee-dee. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, oh. And sometimes, you know, George Lopez orders from his house.
Yeah.
And we had, like, Shaun White in. Last year, the most famous people that ever walked in was probably Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Oh, nice.
They walked in on December 24th.
Oh, you even remember that?
Yeah, I was
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, I was there, you know, and then I was in the back packing, and then one of the servers came in and goes, oh my gosh, guess who's here? She's just like, Kim and Kanye's here, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, don't disturb them, just serve them.
Exactly.
People.
She's busy adding a few pounds to her ass, you know. Don't disturb them.
Yeah, well, it was great. It was great publicity. They actually, a lot of the paparazzi was hiding their cars.
Oh, really?
And I guess when they came out, they shot like a nice footage, you know, of our restaurant named Compal Bistro.
There you go, free advertisement.
Yeah, there you go.
It was free advertisement, and
that's
great. We were blessed to have that happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It was like kind of in and out. I mean, they ordered. They just took a bite of every, like a little bite of some yeah. fried rice, some Compal chicken, and then they took off.
Yeah.
But they were really friendly.
Awesome.
You know, I think one of our cashiers and our floor manager are trying to ask them for a picture.
Right.
And they were nice, but Kanye was like, hurry up, hurry up.
Yeah.
Let's make it quick.
Yeah.
I actually want to go, I should have went up to him and introduced myself and go, I wanted to tell him, Matt, you are the craziest African American I've ever met. You know? For all the stuff he said on live on television, I give him props.
Really?
Yeah.
What are some of the things he said? I'm not that familiar with him.
Well, you know.
What, he's like outspoken and stuff?
I wouldn't say outspoken. He's kind of nutty, you know. But, you know, he got some balls.
Really?
Yeah, for all those times when he, you know, kind of like interrupted Taylor Swift. And during that time when, you know, I think he was with Mike Myers on a TV show.
Mm.
With that, I think the Katrina hurricane.
Right.
And then he went on air. And said, oh, George Bush was racist. I was like, whoa. You know,
wow.
Remember that? I mean,
yes.
I was like,
wow.
I was like, wow, you know, I mean, for a black guy to say that on live television, you know, towards, you know, white America, quote unquote, you know, and that was hardcore.
It takes a lot of balls to do that.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what are you some of the specialties? What are you guys good at as far as the restaurant? What would you recommend if I came in?
If everyone comes in, we specialize in vegan and vegetarian food.
Oh, really?
We're really big on that right now.
Uh-huh. So you don't serve meat?
Oh, we do.
Oh, no,
you
they do.
We do.
You just have a separate menu for vegan.
We have to serve meat.
Yeah.
I love meat.
I know. Yeah. That's why I was asking. Yeah.
That was like another side
right
there. We're trying to like open up being organic.
Mm-hmm.
We have like a lot of like, you know, vegan orange chicken, vegan beef broccoli.
Mm.
Of course, a lot of our dishes are like the crispy walnut shrimp.
Yeah.
Which is really tasty.
So how's chicken vegan? I don't get it.
It's made of soy wheat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's not chicken.
It's not real chicken.
Yeah, it's not real chicken.
Modified to look and taste like chicken.
Well, anything you kill pretty much tastes like chicken, they say. So I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, especially West Hollywood, everyone, you know, they're really food cautious.
Yeah.
And health cautious, too.
That's true, yeah. L.A. is, I mean, they're really trendsetters in West Hollywood, you know, because you have a lot of the gays and stuff, and they're, like, outgoing. They like to stay on top of fashion and things like that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's definitely a good location, you know.
It is. We're in a corner of Fairfax and Santa Monica.
Oh, that's a good location.
Right next to the Whole Foods, you know.
Yeah, it's a busy area right there. It's a really
very
good location.
Very busy.
Yeah.
Very busy.
Well, awesome. So, Kung Pao Bistro, and that's on 7853 Santa Monica Boulevard, West Hollywood, on the corner of Fairfax, like you said. And so you guys are open, what, from 11 until?
11 a.m. to 11 p.m., 365 days a year.
Sounds good. No holidays for you, huh?
Man.
That's
let's
probably
go
when
there,
you
let's not go there right now.
Yeah. But that's when the Chinese restaurants make the most money, on holidays, you know, when everybody else is closed. And then you go, I want to eat something.
Let's go to Chinese food.
Exactly.
That's very true, actually. It's like that in the Midwest, too.
Oh, is it like that in the Midwest?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we always end up going to like a Chinese restaurant on like Easter or something. And they'll be like packed because everything else is closed. Easter Sunday. It was like our tradition. Like we started doing that. We've been doing that forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No
That's
joke.
That's funny. All right. Well, Eddie Chan, thank you so much for joining us. You're definitely very interesting, a lot of fun.
Thank you, Sam.
And,
thank you, Mia.
I love Chinese food, and I'm definitely going to check this place out, man.
Yeah, seriously, check it out. It's like it's really, really, really good food.
And if Mia says so, she must know. So you go there frequently?
Yeah, I mean, I live right there.
Yeah.
Although, because my mom was recently in town, and we went there, but you weren't there. We were so bummed out.
Really? What day? Was it a Thursday, like today, or?
No, I can't remember what day of the week it was. It was when my mom was in town kind of recently.
Like a couple weeks ago?
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably took a day off.
Yeah. Oh well. We were there.
Next time.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We're not going there. Anywhere. We'll yeah. be here.
Well, Eddie, much success to you. All the best. You're very ambitious, and I think you'll continue to grow. So we wish you a lot of luck and
thank you, Sam.
And
thank
success
you, Mia.
For sure. Thanks. All right, Mia. Well, that's it for today.
All right.
Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.